Before I start my message today, I want to say that whoever reads on Pentecost Sunday is challenged. And we had two excellent readers today, Mary Carson in the first service and Aaron Colbert in the second here. And Aaron, wow, you did such a fantastic job. Actually, it makes us pastors a little afraid. Because if we ever have to read that ourselves, you do it with such excellence, and of course we had the bell choir and our chancel choir, and they were excellent today. And I thank them, and I appreciate them very much. Now may only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. Encounters with Jesus. Jesus promises us a helper from our gospel lesson for today. Sunday school teacher taught her class to recite the Apostles' Creed. She had assigned a line for everyone in her class. And so the day came for the recitation, and it was given beautifully, except near the end. One child began it. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." Second child followed up, "I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord." And on it went, perfectly, actually, until the last child to speak said this: "He ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand God the Father, from thence you have come to judge the living and the dead." The next line, of course, was, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." But there was complete silence. It went on for, you know how it can be, that awkward kind of silence, and the teacher's looking for who's going to come with the next line, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Nothing, nothing, nothing. Finally, one little brave girl got up and said, "The little boy who believes in the Holy Spirit is absent today." And I thought of that. The Holy Spirit is absent today. That's what I think happens all too often. I mean, we speak of God the Father, we speak of Jesus Christ, but we have a tendency to leave out the Holy Spirit. And a church just can't do that. Christians can't do that. The disciples of Jesus were beginning to become very, very sad. The context of our scripture, our gospel lesson today, is again that upper room where Jesus is preparing His disciples for His leaving. And He's telling them that He's going to leave them very soon. Naturally, they didn't want to be hearing this. They wouldn't even ask Him questions about it because they were so filled with grief. And then Jesus said something very strange. And I wonder if you have thought through this yourself. He said, "I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Now, doesn't that sound like a strange statement to you? Unless I go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. Jesus promised them and us a paraclete. The Holy Spirit, para, to come alongside of, as in paramedic, paralegal. Clete, the noun, the verb form of kaleo, to call or direct. The Holy Spirit to come alongside of us, to direct us, to call us. Various translations of the Word of God call the Holy Spirit Counselor, Comforter, Helper. In my reading of the Bible, The Holy Spirit is all of these things and more. As a counselor, for instance, He is sympathetic in relationship with us, standing in our shoes, listening to our entreaties and our prayers, whispering to us. The Spirit in this role is a divine GPS guiding us along life's path. I read an Associated Piece news story about a virus that had inflicted a flock of Canadian geese. The virus destroyed their navigational system, which, of course, they're renowned for. These geese flew in circles. It was really tragic to see. Thousands upon thousands of them died. They literally got lost. That sounds incredible, doesn't it? I mean, we think of Canadian geese getting lost, of all people, right? But then I thought, isn't this like people? Aren't there a lot of people who don't have a clue of where they're going or what life is about? And they get lost. And they go in kind of a spiritual circle. And they die. We need the Holy Spirit greatly, or we're apt to get lost. He counsels us. He takes away the dimness of our soul. I think there is so much out there telling us this is it. This is the way you should go. This is what you should believe in. And it's all false. And in fact, if you believe it and trust in these things outside of what the Holy Spirit brings us, your life is going to take on just a futility and a lostness. The Holy Spirit brings us the truth. And so that's really the second thing I can say about the Holy Spirit. He's a lifelong teacher. As it says in our scripture, He will teach us all things and bring in our remembrance all that Jesus said and did. You know, the Bible is the Word of God. And there are no words written that are more important or more vital to our life than these. This is a treasure beyond comparison. But every time you read the Bible, you ought to say a prayer like this. Holy Spirit, open my mind and my heart to understand these words, its full meaning, and how to put these words into practice in my life. The Holy Spirit opens up our minds and hearts. Not only that, it brings the practicality of it all. The role that God has for you to play in your life. Oh yes, I think there will be continual times when you read the Word and you'll say, I just don't understand this mysterious Word of God. But don't minimize how much the Holy Spirit can reveal to us, enlighten us, if we just persevere in taking up God's holy word. Throughout the Bible, we also see this about the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Holy Spirit comes to a person, there is unleashed great power. Now, Samson was known as a man of supreme strength. He was the strong man of the Old Testament, wasn't he? Now, what do you think he looked like? Do you think he looked like a super muscled Arnold Schwarzenegger type figure? You think that's what he looked like? I kind of doubt that. I'll tell you why I doubt it. Because every time he did something extremely amazing that took a lot of strength, it says this, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. It was not that he was Mr. Muscle. It was the Spirit of God that came to him. As Christians, we were never to be weak. And I'm not talking about physical strength, and that's okay if you have physical strength. It's a good thing. But it's nothing compared to spiritual strength and the power that we can receive because of the Holy Spirit. A renowned preacher named Vance Havner once said, "There ought to be enough divine electricity in every church to give everybody in the congregation either a charge or a shock." I agree with that. In the Holy Spirit, there will be energy. There will be momentum. There will be compulsion. There will be power to bring people to Christ, to serve God, and to praise God the Father and Jesus Christ for the salvation they have wrought. We were never, never meant to be a passive church. Never meant to be apathetic, indifferent, unmoved, dispassionate, half-hearted, and lukewarm church. Never, never. Not if the Holy Spirit resides with us. Because the Spirit always brings wholehearted devotion to Jesus Christ. And with that, and the only way I can describe it, is a divine energy. A divine energy. So what does that mean for you and me this day? In this remembrance of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day we call Pentecost. Well, we're exactly in the place where the disciples were. Jesus is saying to us just as much as he said to them, "I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you." And so now we have a role to play. It's not much different than the disciples. Were they trained pastors? You might say they had 3 years with Jesus. How much did they absorb? It's time for you to move. It's time for you to hear the call that he's sending you. In a preacher magazine that I get, I came across a very quirky statistic. This may help you understand why Jesus Christ had to leave the disciples. This concerns, of all people, the rock and roll legend Elvis Presley. When Elvis Presley died, time of his death, there were 48 known Elvis impersonators. Today, there are an estimated, guess how many? Anybody want to take a guess? 35,000 Elvis impersonators. How many of you have seen an Elvis impersonator? Okay, that's a lot of you. How many of you saw the original Elvis? Okay, you're dating yourself, but that's okay. That's okay. That's good. Yeah. Well, when he was alive, you would have had to go where he was, but you didn't need an Elvis impersonator. Why? Because you could go where he was and listen to him, right? When Jesus was on this earth, he could be close to a relatively few. Maybe thousands, right? But relatively few. Now that he's ascended into heaven and having given us the Holy Spirit, he wants us to be Jesus impersonators. He wants us to be Jesus to the world. Be me. Go out and be just like me. Do what I did. Be on the same mission I was. Sing the song that I sang. One way we will be able to do this is that we can be walking advertisements for Jesus, because the Helper will teach us how to live. Now, you would have thought that when a baby was born, it would come with a manual. Right? how to live, how to take care of this new item. This new baby. I remember when our first child was born, Stephanie. We brought her home. And Susie says, I'm going to give her a bath. She picked up that child and said, do you know how to do this? I mean, there's a cord here and everything. I mean, you're supposed to get that wet. I remember questioning her. And I said, have you read up on this or what? Where was the manual? But, you know, there is one for living. Again, it's the Word of God. This is a manual. It's a blueprint. The Spirit uses it to teach us how to live. It all begins with faith in Jesus Christ, His death on the cross for us, His resurrection that gives us forgiveness of sins and justification, puts us right with God. And then it goes on from there. With the Spirit's help, we can escape living a life of futility and meaninglessness, I guess that's the same word, and give us purpose. With the Spirit's help, we can be freed from the traps of lust and addictions and all those desires that will ultimately lead to our destruction. And I'm sorry to say, but our eternal destruction. We need the Holy Spirit so that we can live life in an entirely different way than people of the world would have us live it and tell us all these false things of how you should go about it. You hear so much of it. Instead, the Spirit leads us into a life that generates genuine peace, authentic joy, not all those fake things that are out there. And yes, fake religions developed by mankind. The Bible talks about it, about being made alive in Christ, alive in Him. And then we can continually grow in the tutelage of the Holy Spirit. We become God's workmanship. Holy Spirit comes to us and He begins to make us in the image of Christ, ready to go and do really good things. And many of you have done really good things. And that was the Holy Spirit in you. Because we have a helper who is molding us, who is counseling us, who's instructing us, out of our life can come real love, real joy, real peace, and of course all those other things that we call the fruit of the Spirit: patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Since we live by the Spirit, we're challenged to keep in step with the Spirit. In the 8 o'clock service, we have a children's message. And I said to the children, how is the church like a glove? Well, have you ever seen a glove just walk around? If you have, there's help for you. No, but if a glove is to do anything, what? It has to have a hand in it, and then it can do things, right? Well, if this is the church, what's this? Holy Spirit. But let me tell you what happens sometimes. Sometimes the church is like this. Why? Because these are the people. And if the people don't have the Holy Spirit in them, what happens? Church is not so powerful, is it? Sometimes church is like this. It's got a, you know, it can hardly grasp anybody and invite them and bring them into a relationship with Christ because it's just limp. The church was never supposed to be like that. Grace is not supposed to be like that. See these empty seats? It's not supposed to be like that. Maybe you should drag some of your neighbors here. If you have all this, you can do it. Arr, you're coming with me. And that's not the way we do it, of course, but you get the idea. This is the church, right? No. This is the church. This is the church. You and I have an invisible helper. Let's invite him into our life every day, especially when we read the scriptures. Let's get on with living the way the Holy Spirit wants us to live. Let's find all he has in store for us. And then let's grow and with his help be really and truly a Jesus impersonator to this world. In his name and to his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.